Lake Effect returns now on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. Environmental issues such as global warming, rainforest preservation, and oil drilling have often been hot-button topics. One such issue has particularly polarized Wisconsin and eastern Minnesota: sand fracking, a method of drilling for natural gas. Those in favor of fracking like the jobs it creates and the access to a natural resource. Those against it object to what it does to the natural landscape. Jerry Abbs, a former agricultural extension agent and current professor emeritus, has incorporated the many perspectives on sand fracking in his newest novel, The Great Sand Fracas of Ames County. The book is sixth in his Ames County series, and it shines a light on what happens within the fictional town of Link Lake when sand fracking becomes a reality. Abbs spoke with Lake Effect's Eleanor Peterson by phone, and he explained why he's focused and invested in writing about the people and the land.
Variety of reasons. One, I am a farm boy. I grew up on a small dairy farm in central Wisconsin. And I grew up during a time when agriculture was extremely different, very different from what it is today. I grew up milking cows by hand. I grew up without electricity. I grew up where our farm home was heated with wood stoves. And there are and no indoor plumbing. There aren't a lot of people around anymore who had that experience. And I, as someone who does a lot of work with history, I just think it's important that those of us who live in the urban areas where most people live these days are really only two or three, and sometimes only one generation away from the land. And it was the land, the farmers, the agriculturists, who really were the first settlers in this country, and in the Middle West, to be sure. And there were values and beliefs that came out of that time that I happen to think are valuable for us to recall again today. So those are a few of the reasons why I'm writing this material and doing TV and lots of radio and giving lots of talks to groups all over the place.
Do you think as a society, especially in America, that we are progressing too fast or too far away from the land and that the two generations ago?
I'm not one to say we're progressing too fast. I'm trying to keep up with what's going on, to be sure. But I sometimes think, and this maybe is more in agreement with going too quickly, I sometimes think that we are in such a hurry to do whatever it is we're doing, that we don't take time. We don't reflect on where we've been. And I teach creative writing, and one of the things I say to my students is that we really can't know where we're going with any sense of purpose until we know where we've been. And some of them roll their eyes at that comment. But I think it's an important one.
And that really leads us into why we're talking today, because in your most recent book, The Great Sand Fracas of Ames County, you bring to light the real situation that is happening around Wisconsin. And a lot of the characters in that book are taking the time to reflect, especially Ambrose Adler and Emily
Higgins.
Yeah, Emily Higgins, yes. These people are just really interesting to read about. But why are you writing about sand fracking?
Let me back up and say that this is my sixth novel. Each one of them takes place in fictional Ames County, Wisconsin. Each one of my novels deals with a contemporary issue. And right now, one of the hottest contemporary issues in Wisconsin happens to be sand mining, frack sand mining. Sand that's to be used in the hydraulic fracturing process now taking place largely in the West, but also in the Northeast. And sometimes we, again, back to the earlier question, in our haste to accept new ideas and to move in new directions, we fail to realize that something like, in this case, a very real situation, frack sand mining, can divide a community. It can divide a community severely, where people who may be neighbors and even relatives are talking to each other because they're on different sides of this issue. So the issue in frac sand mining is one, becomes very emotional. One of the things I'm trying to do is to suggest that there are multiple viewpoints on all of these issues. And the extent to which we can keep emotion under control and look at the scientific evidence, look at the historical information, look at the sociological effects, look at the political atmosphere, by looking at a question like, should there or should there not be a sand mine in our community, in my judgment, needs to be looked at much, much more broadly than just a knee-jerk emotional response.
Which is happening a lot, especially with the election coming up. They state the issues, but then they're also, you know, attacking each other emotionally and personally as well. So that is really something to definitely reflect upon, which what you're definitely bringing out in these books, that we need to take time to sink in and think about it from different perspectives.
That's correct. Now, some of my readers know that I was a longtime professor of agriculture at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. And in my courses, one of the themes of everything that I taught was to help my students learn how to think critically. And not only how to do it, but the importance of doing it. And I am so upset these days when people are going going off half-cocked with evidence that they have not, perhaps they've heard it on the radio, and there's no sense of checking it to see it for accuracy. I'm one who is advocating that each and every one of us, no matter what the issue, no matter what the question, that question, issue, problem needs to be thought about critically, not just accepting what somebody else thinks is the answer. So that's another dimension to what I'm trying to do with this whole series of books, and especially with this book that deals with frac sand mining.
And then while reading this book, the reader is in the middle of this pretty well-informed debate. We get all these different perspectives, which now that we have this background, it makes a lot more sense. Getting a well-informed debate about what should happen with the possibility of sand fracking comes into Link Lake, the fictional town. And we get to read the different sides of the debate through the thoughts and the actions of their characters. Do you associate yourself at all with any of the characters? Are you Ambrose? Are you Marilyn? Who are you?
I'm trying to say I'm all of them. to be frank about it, because I mean they're my characters.
Right.
But I really don't. I'm trying to as best I can, and none of us can stay objective. We all have a subjective dimension to us if you look deeply enough. But I'm trying to stay as objective as possible. I'm trying to put forth what the economic arguments are. The need for this town, which is fairly depressed and has not come out of the recent recession very well. And they do need jobs, no question about it. And they do need economic development. But, on the other hand, they have a rich, rich history. And the economic development job creation people want to ignore that history. And Emily Higgins, president of the Link Lake Historical Society, is not allowing them to do that. She's saying, look, and I like this line, when a community loses its history, forgets its history, it forgets who it is. It loses its soul. She's making this point very well, and the economic development people are not very happy about that. In fact, they cannot believe Emily Higgins in her 80s. What's this old woman doing anyway? Why doesn't she just keep her mouth shut and let things move forward? Jobs and economic development are the future. That's the mantra of the Economic Development Council. And she's saying, oh, wait a minute. Whoa, let's look at this more deeply. And then add to that Stony Field, the environmental writer, who is saying, okay, history is terribly important. We've got to pay attention to that. But there's also a very serious and important environmental dimension to sand mining, and we should know more about that. So we've got all of this swirling around together, which is the essence of my story.
But you also, with all the seriousness, you also have some comic relief with Fred and Oscar.
Yeah. They've been in 3-4 of my novels. These two old guys are retired farmers, and they don't know Wi-Fi from yesterday, to give you an example. And they dearly love each other, but they also banter back and forth all of the time over what's happening and who's busy and who's not busy. But they allow us to look at an issue, in this case, the possibility of a sand mine coming to the park, of all places. They allow us to, through their eyes, to see the situation from someone who has not looked at it very carefully, who's sort of naive in a positive kind of way, a positive naivety in looking at it. So their eyes are wide open. And they both, as farmers, one of them said, hey, look, the value of our sandy farm has just increased many fold, which happens to be the reality of what's happening in places in Wisconsin where sand mines are coming into the community. So they offer both a comic relief and also a kind of a different perspective.
And then also while reading these books, or reading this particular book, I noticed also that most of the characters are older, or 60 or older. Why did you choose that demographic, that age demographic, as opposed to including a variety of ages?
One of the main reasons is, and there are some younger people as well, mm-hmm. But the older people, in my judgment, in many communities are often seen as irrelevant and not up to date with what's going on. Lost in the past, and I wanted to show that that's not true. There are people like that, of course, older people like that. But there are many who are sharp as a tack, know what's going on, and are willing to stand up for what they believe, and that's one of the reasons I hope drew a strong character in Emily Higgins. Carl Adams is a younger middle-aged guy in a main character in the story as well. And there are kids involved in various kinds of things that we're doing. Mm-hmm. But I really wanted to illustrate that older people do have something to say. And they do have a perspective. And many of them do keep up to date. And by golly, they ought to be listened to.
I completely agree. I really do. Instead of being pushed off to the side, I completely agree that they need to be listened to, because they have a lot of wisdom, a lot more wisdom that younger generations don't give them credit for.
What I'm, again, in addition to a multiple perspective and critical thinking, looking at an issue, every question needs to be looked at from a multi-generational perspective as well. The young people need to be heard. The older people need to be heard, and all those in between. Everyone's voice needs to be heard, and that's what democracy is supposed to be about, with multiple perspectives, multiple viewpoints, across the ages, all well-informed, all critically thinking.
Agreed. Jerry Apps, thank you so much for being on Lake Effect.
You are so welcome. I appreciate the opportunity.
Jerry Apps is a former agricultural extension agent and current professor emeritus. He's the author of the book, The Great Sand Fracas of Ames County. It was just released today. Apps spoke with Lake Effect's Eleanor Peterson by phone. We will take one last break and then meet jazz trumpeter and Minnesota native John Raymond, who's in town on Friday for a concert. Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio right after this.